Hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, I love Sarah's comment that you are short and stout, just like a little teapot. Piggy, piggy, piggy. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, we still need to measure you to see how tall you are.
As Lisa signs this P.S., you are not 6 feet tall. Maybe 5'10", maybe. Piggy, piggy. Thank you. I appreciate that. Rick, there is no way you are... Subject onto this, by the way, is Fatty McFatterstein. Rick, there's no way you're a 31 waist unless you've got very buff arms or legs. I am 6 foot and 167, and I am a 32 waist, possibly a 31. I work out 3 to 4 times a week. Yes, I remember when I was 34 waist and 32 length during the fat years, and it was a sad thing. Being a self-described softie, there's no way you're a 31 waist. Those jeans have stretched and strained enough to fit your enormous ass. Release them from their pain. Come back from your Egyptian vacation, sir. Let's see. Sarah, he is a liar, a spinner of tall tales, and an overall stretcher of truth and denim. Thanks for the show, though, Nick. All right, thank you. It's 503-733-2970.
Well, I guess even if they're stretched out, it still is technically your size, but I still don't believe those are 31.
They are...
We'll get to this later.
I hate you guys. We'll get Jim Roop in a moment. Ian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
What's up?
Ah, well, you know, just commenting about the whole Gate situation.
Oh, we're calling it Gate-Gate, by the way. That is now the official name of the scandal, is Gate-Gate.
Oh, the Gate-Gate. All right.
No. Not the Gate-Gate. You don't say the Watergate. You don't say the Monica Gate. This is Gate-Gate.
All right. Gotcha.
Okay.
Anyway, in the past, I've known some good old boys that live out in the country, and one of their hobbies is just to mess with the Forest Service. You know? They get pissed off because they're out in the woods getting drunk and shooting things, and a forest ranger comes up and just wants to bust them for being stupid. So they have to exact their revenge by, you know, pulling things out of the ground with their truck. They, you know, shoot signs. They lock gates just to mess with them.
And so your speculation is that the gate was locked by somebody who was not a Bureau of Land Management employee just to be difficult.
Quite possibly,
well,
yes.
And so, but my question is, and then that begs the question of, like, well, was the gate supposed to be locked in the first place?
Well, they could have found a 40-year-old lock in the garage that maybe didn't work quite right. They were drunk. They put it on the gate and that'll really mess with those Forest Service guys. Let them try to get here through here now, you know?
Right. No, I guess what I'm saying is, since it is winter time, I'm just wondering if that gate was, like, should it have been locked? I think that's what we're trying to figure out, is, like, to keep people from, like, inadvertently going up the hill and you know, going to their snow-covered death. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Ian, thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you, Rick.
There you go. There's Ian. Ian was very perky. I think Ian has all of it. I think he sucked all of Sarah's energy today. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the City of Angels.
I love everything.
CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, one and all. Woo-hoo.
You really, everybody is feeling fantastic today, and then it's sort of opposite day where Sarah Dillon is.
Really?
Sarah's not feeling so well. She's feeling poorly.
Might not be opposite day. It just might be ladies' day.
Okay. Has everybody been doing a lot of drugs or something today? Because everybody seems disproportionately energetic, my friend.
I don't know, man.
Are you just excited because you got to cover yet another awards ceremony, like the fifth one in like a week?
I'm excited because what I had to cover this morning is over.
Well, that's the Golden Globes. Now, is the Golden Globes the foreign one?
Yes, it's the Hollywood Foreign Press, yeah.
No, but how can it be the Hollywood Foreign Press? It's either the Hollywood Press or it's a foreign press.
No, it's the foreign press. The foreign press in Hollywood that reports back to their home countries the happenings in Hollywood.
Sir, well, screw them. Why do we care what other countries think? Why should I care what foreign countries think about American films? Let them review their own films.
I don't know.
Let them go back and watch a bunch of the Bollywood films where everybody dances around and then makes a souffle. Seriously, but somehow the Golden Globes are one of those things that, like, X years ago I had never heard of.
Yeah.
And then somebody pressed a button somewhere and they became this thing that I have to care about because they became a bellwether for the Oscars. And I'm not even really sure that that's true.
That. It's not so much a bellwether for the Oscars or a predictor. It is a precursor. It comes before. But that's the reason why it's become big. It's because it's the last major award show before the Oscars.
And so this is just trying to kill time. They're just dragging it out because now there's nothing to do until the Academy Awards happen.
You know, it's weird. I don't really understand why they have this. I don't understand why they have. To me, it should be the Emmys, the Oscars, and the Grammys. Those are the three.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Hey, well, let's, you know, I don't really care about
this.
And
then they should do it in a 15-minute luncheon.
That's what I'm saying. I just don't. Really, if they offered some sort of a Reader's Digest condensed version of these award shows, I might actually watch them. That's the thing. I just don't care. I just don't, and I realize now as we're treading way into this, I don't really care about it. I don't even really care enough to make fun of it.
There you go.
And so here we are. Okay, well, there you go. Hey, do you have any cold remedies for Sarah Dillon? Any threat? You're a broadcaster. Why not letting her down with yet one more home remedy? Because that's the thing, and you must know this, Jim, as a guy who uses your voice for a living, every time you get a sniffle, everybody you know has like a home remedy that they want to share with you.
Yeah.
And it's always just something repellent. It's always like Jack Daniels and like mud from a bog somewhere.
No, I do bourbon and honey.
Honey is the one thing. Robert Plant says honey. Robert Plant says it is all about honey. And so that's the guy who knows about it using his voice.
If you can tolerate just letting the honey slide down your throat instead of swallowing it real fast, I mean, really let it coat.
Right.
You'll feel better. But it's just a temporary fix. It'll get you through your shift.
That's my thing with the ginger, too.
Yeah.
Ginger
is perfect.
Ginger is perfect, and it doesn't cure it, but yeah, it will get you through whatever it is you've got to do.
Bourbon and honey will get you through.
The very best part is Sarah and I are going to be at a big smoky bar tonight for a rock show that we're hosting. I'm not saying we have to. I mean, I'm going to be there, but I think for Sarah at this point, it's become a thing. It's not become a thing for me, and actually until like this morning, for her, it was like a thing. Like, yeah, we're going to go hold it down at the rock show tonight. It has now become a thing that she will be getting through.
Is she sick or just has some sort of scratchy throat?
It's kind of a mixture of both. It's definitely a sore throat.
I think this is one indicating the imminent arrival of the other.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
this is
well,
sort
lucky
of
lucky for you. The weekend's coming.
You get through tomorrow, and then you can just lay around it just to be in a.
No,
coma.
It's like Christmas parties galore this weekend.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
For who?
A couple work parties, a friend's birthday, another party.
All right. Well,
a couple of work parties, and you had to ask who.
Yeah, well, apparently
I'm for other people, not for
saying,
us.
Apparently, I've not been invited.
Goodness gracious.
Hey, would you like to hear the worst story ever? Since I feel bad that we actually bothered to book you.
I covered that this morning.
And now, no, this is worse. I feel bad that we booked you and now we don't have, and now I just realize that I don't care about any of this. I'm going to share with you now, here's the thing, Jim Roop. No matter where you may go today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, I'm going to read this story and forevermore you will be able to say to yourself, well, at least I, Jim Roop, am not this guy.
All right.
I would like now for everyone to gather around there. If you've got children, perhaps bring them near the wireless. If you are at work, if the human resources director is walking near you, perhaps ask them into your cubicle. Turn up the radio or internet stream. Everyone bask in the warm glow of my dulcet tones as I share with you the worst story you will ever hear. By the way, this does, in my opinion, in many ways, this exceeds the horror inflicted by our previous worst story, which involved a man having relations with an animal, said animal having been deceased for some time, and said relations happening with inside of a nearby daycare center. This might, in fact, be worse. A German woman.
Oh, that's terrible.
No. That's my Lycus pregnant pause. A German woman is suing an adoption agency after her adopted teenage son ruined valuable naked photos of her while he was engaged in an act of self-gratification.
Oh.
See right there. That's what I was waiting for. That sound. Maria Anton, 50, who now lives in Portugal's Algarve, was 25 when she was photographed naked by her boyfriend at the time.
God, it wasn't 50-year-old pictures.
After they split, she kept the photographs. But when Anton's 15-year-old son, Mehmet, found the old photos, he thought he had unearthed So, see, it's just it's like concentric circles of hell. He thought he had unearthed a secret porn stash.
Mm-hmm.
And proceeded to do what teenage boys will do. In news that seems likely to keep local psychiatrists busy for some time, he did not realize that the model was, in fact, his mother, while enjoying himself with the photographs. Despite work by art experts to restore the photos, they were, I'm quoting now, hopelessly soiled, end quote, during the son's activities, and cannot be restored to their previous state. The mother declined further comment. There you go, Jim.
I don't think further comment is needed.
First of all,
your first problem is the kid's name is Mehmet.
Yeah, seriously.
That's a speech impediment.
So there you go. So for it doesn't matter whatever happens to you, however badly your day may go.
Soiled my naked pictures.
You do not have an immediate relative engaged in any sort of self-act while looking at photos of you, thus irrevocably soiling said photos. So at least you are not that guy, Jim Rope.
Yes.
All right, my friend.
You have made my day, sir.
Well, it's what we do here at the Rick Emerson Show. We try to... And by the way, I should note this. We had a guy calling us. And I gotta go. We had this guy who called us right at the beginning of the show, this guy named Will. And I was just noting that Will hasn't called us back in a while. We had a guy who called us in the first hour of the program. His wife just dumped him, apparently. He's getting a divorce. And so he's taken a few days off work to recuperate. And as he described it, his recuperation is taking the form of drinking heavily and listening to our show. He began drinking beer at 4 o'clock this morning. He switched to wine at around 9:30, and at around 11 o'clock he had switched to vodka. And he was going to be calling us back and giving us an update, and we haven't heard from him for about 2 hours. So here's hoping that he sleeps on his side.
Yeah.
Because it's been a while since we've heard from Will today, so I'll let you know how that works out.
Let
me just say that I apologize for the completely uninteresting and substandard nature of our interaction today, Jim Rupert.
There is nothing uninteresting about your show, sir.
You're nice to say so.
There's nothing substandard about your show, sir.
God bless you. God bless you, sir. All right, Jim Roop, enjoy your Southern California day. We will talk to you soon, my friend.
And I hope that Sarah dries out.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're a pal. Thanks, Jim.
You're very welcome.
Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, in Los Angeles. I'm all dried out. It's 503-733-2970. In just moments, we will be joined by Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth. Scotty, let's also take caller 5 now to play Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics. We'll take caller number 5 at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 to play Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics. For a pair of tickets to L.A. Guns tonight. L.A. Guns, Bullet Boys, and Appetite for Deception are tonight at Outlaws. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, just so you know, you and Tim will both be spending an eternity in hell. We will all be there with you, laughing at the other lost, hopeless souls. Mm-mm. Damnation. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
If you're within the sound of my voice, there's a high wind warning in effect for you. Yes, you. All the way from the coast inland. Now on the coast, possibly gusts up to 100 miles an hour tonight. We're going to get the worst of it. Our gusts will be 60 to 65 miles an hour. And that will begin around 8 o'clock. We understand the power is out right now in Seaside. They're getting belted over on the coast. BG advising you to gear up for tonight's storm. Prepare like you're going on, a hike to Mount Hood, the right way. I have a battery-operated radio for some unknown reason. Also, television, if you like, 72 hours of ready-to-eat food and water, extra blankets, paper plates, utensils, firewood, a fireplace, wood stove, matches, a thermos, board games, playing cards, if you like. You can watch a Clay Aiken Christmas special on tonight at 9 o'clock.
So as you are freezing to death,
yes,
as your last moments on this earth are falling away from you, you can enjoy the dulcet tones of Clay Aiken.
Immediately followed by Bikini Cave Girl.
Fantastic.
Leave a light on outside and perhaps some sex with the PGE repairman. Well, if you have electricity, that is. Help neighbors or relatives, who will need assistance. Anyway, National Weather Service says there's a flood warning in effect for the Clackamas River in Estacada. So you people in Estacada should do whatever you can to salvage your town, I guess.
Or really, we could...
move to Gresham.
Well, I was going
to
say, really, we could just let the hand of God give that place a good washing. I mean, really, let's be honest. You want to talk about a place that really could do with a torrential downpour for 40 days and 40 nights just to give that... When do you suppose the last time anybody in that town really had a good, long scrubbing bath was? I mean, I think really that might just be the hand of Providence coming down. It's like hosing day at the zoo. You know what I mean?
All right. So, once again, the worst of the winds will hit the Portland metro area at 8 o'clock tonight. Yeah. The high wind warning is in effect till 7 a.m. tomorrow. No one will be spared.
Fantastic. That's the official word for the CBS Radio News Department.
There are more pressing things to talk about today. This is the day of the bleeding of the brain, the top story nationwide, after South Dakota Senator Tim Johnson he underwent surgery. So we asked our friends at the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh.
Okay.
This time, Dr. Kathy Cilia, about bleeding in the brain. Is it dangerous because the blood can damage the brain tissue, doctor?
There's this blood and this mass that occurs inside the skull. And, you know, it's not like your leg that can sort of swell up because the skin can stretch. Your skull's pretty hard, and the skull isn't going to move.
That's that college education.
Unless you get a good shaking,
Sean. Which, that really is, she's just showing off her book learning there. That's just boasting when she's talking about your skull being really hard.
Please tell us more about the dangers of bleeding of the brain.
So if you get brain swelling, and that swelling occurs in a fixed compartment like the skull, now you've got serious trouble.
His brain is swell.
It's even worse than this wind warning we're in effect. Yes, bleeding of the brain boils down to two important things.
One is the volume of the hemorrhage. You know, how much blood was there? How big of the clot formed? And how much tissue was damaged?
How wide is
and
my valley?
And the second is, you know, location, location.
Just like with a mall or a haircutting place. It's all about location. How big is my plot? How green is my valley?
Yes. Yes, the brain has different parts for different functions.
There are parts of the brain that are critical, essential parts of the brain that you can't live without. And then there are parts of the brain that are sort of overwired and sort of less critical for function.
She's so perky.
Well, how often does she get called about bleeding of the brain stories?
Seriously, it is
this
true.
This is her 15 minutes of pain.
They're really...
Dr. Kathy from the Cleveland Clinic.
They aren't upbeat people there. Well done, Dr. Kathy, in the Cleveland Clinic. All right.
Well, fans of the... I think I have it now. It started out fine.
Fans of a... Call the request line now for Garth Brooks!
Fans of HBO's The Sopranos need only to wait a few more months for the show's return. The official website for the mob drama now says the series' final season will begin airing in April. It was originally scheduled to come back in January.
God damn, it was going to be January, then it was going to be March. I will. I'm a fool. All right, fine.
Meanwhile, let's do the Joy of Christmas.
Here's another exciting installment of Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Problems out there with kids eating cigarette butts this time of the year. We'll get to that in just a moment. But
first,
we got to talk about the stolen baby Jesus. Yes, the stolen baby Jesus statue. This is the New Hampshire baby Jesus. Well, it's stolen from a nativity scene in New Hampshire. It was returned, finally. It was taken early in the morning from the front yard of a Plaistow, New Hampshire home and replaced by a beer can. People noticed the difference right away. On Tuesday morning, the owner of the nativity set found the statue in his driveway. He's thankful they returned it and left no further information. But the thieves drew devil horns on the baby Jesus before giving it back.
Making the baby Jesus evil.
So that is part of the joy of Christmas.
Hey, sir, are we playing the...
So we have this interesting little ditty. Your family is unsafe this Christmas, and we want to thank the people at NBC's Today Show. First of all, I guess kids are eating mistletoe and holly and Christmas lights.
Let's find
and cigarette butts.
This is
This morning on Have a Healthy Holiday Today, we're talking about how to keep your family safe from hidden household dangers. Many of those holiday plants and decorations
here, they hit the holiday dangers behind them.
Food and drinks can lead to trouble if you're not careful. Gail Bannick is the director of education for the Upstate New York Poison Center and is representing the American Association of Poison Control Centers. Gail, happy holidays.
Thank you, Matt. Nice to see you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So many millions of phone calls go to poison hotlines every year,
right.
And about half of those concern children under the age of six. So if you have kids, really important to listen up.
You're right.
What are some of the things people just never stop to think about?
Well, I think some of the holiday hazards that people bring into their home, they think of the joyous portion of it, but they don't think about the potential dangers.
Let's talk about decorations. For example, we've always heard poinsettias dangerous, poisonous. True or not true?
No. They've really gotten a very bad rap over the years. And most toxicologists will tell you that you would probably choke from eating the amount of poinsettia leaves
that it would take to actually harm you. But there are some decorations that can be harmful. Let's step back for a second. Tell me about
these. This is the best part. See, this is, you can tell this is the news right here. He asks about something that he thinks is poisonous. She says it's not, and he's really disappointed. And so then he keeps pushing her. But there are things that will kill you, right? Please?
Well, this is a holly, for example, and holly is toxic, and the holly berries are particularly toxic.
Holly berry.
And you can see, Matt, that they're very enticing to little kids, especially if they're hungry. You know, that would be a perfect thing to pop and toss in their mouth.
How much of that would it take to make a kid sick?
You know, that's a perfect question for a poison control
center. How many
did it would depend on how many berries they ate, what the size of the child was, how long ago it happened.
Scotty, by the way, we always see this spray, this pretend snow on plants like that. Is that toxic?
The spray itself is not toxic. If a child licked it or got it on his finger and put it in his mouth, not so much. But if, for example, if they were using the spray and they sprayed it and inhaled it, the inhalant portion, the propellant would be what we'd be concerned about.
Let me ask you to move over to the living room here and let's talk about some other decorations. For example, mistletoe.
Toxic, the berries especially.
Okay.
This is sort of like a wheel of fortune in hell, where they're going through the whole bedroom set and just finding out what will maim your children.
Here we've got a little Christmas tree, fake also, I should mention. Yeah. Some of the decorations, if a child gets a hold of that and eats or drinks some of this, that can't be good.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, the bubble lights that you've pointed out have methylene chloride in them, and that could be...
If your child is eating Christmas tree decorations,
they can break them open and swallow the liquid.
Or whatever.
I mean, look, if the kids willing to do that,
if there's
much
any
work.
Potential danger to
children.
I mean,
what about this
spun glass type stuff?
Oh, here we go.
Angel hair.
Angel hair, right.
And it is exactly that, spun glass. And it also has fiber, wood fibers
See,
in it.
See, I didn't think they made it anymore.
So again,
I thought it was made out of plastic or something.
You know what you're bringing into your home.
All right, we've got our holiday feast right here. Real quickly, some of this stuff, for example, food like this with dairy products, people leave it out as a buffet. You can't leave it out for a long period of time.
The rule is, after 2 hours, you should be rotating your food.
Sissies.
While it's out, keep the things that are warm, warm, the things that are cold, cold, and rotate them through.
What about the alcohol for children? They have more access to it. People leave drinks on tables. That can really be dangerous.
Well, it can, and not only that, but it's, you know, when we have a party, oftentimes people leave those drinks out on the table overnight. And so
kids, don't mix your liquors.
You won't be waking up early in the morning, but your child will. So keep those, make sure you take
those.
Parents
won't be waking up in the morning.
The child will be in a closet boozing.
Hate to see those, but also if a child eats a cigarette butt or a couple of them, that can be dangerous.
Yeah, most people aren't aware of the fact that if a child ingests three cigarette butts or eats three quarters of one cigarette, it could be toxic to a child.
We should mention a lot of visitors during the holidays. Your visitors bring medications with them, separate
them. What kind of a retarded child is eating cigarette butts?
Three of them.
Really? I mean, that's a lot.
So it's not so much toxic with one or two.
Well, they left
three.
The zip out.
Yeah, but seriously, I mean...
If they leave the alcohol out, what could the alcohol without the cigarette butts?
Really, if you can't... What's some leftover wine with bread crumbs floating at the bottom of you? Can't have a cigarette butt to relax with it. I mean...
Those are the kind of kids who later in life climb Mount Hood.
That... I was just going to say, God willing, those kids won't grow up to have dumb kids of their own. And I think we're all on the same page there. Because three cigarette butts... That implies that you've eaten the first two and you found them agreeable enough that you just couldn't... You had to keep snacking. You just couldn't...
What if you spaced them out one per hour?
Man,
up on the dress.
I got to tell you this, though. When I was growing up, I used to get so loaded at my parents' Christmas parties. And I don't mean when I was growing up like 16. Like when I was 5 and 6 and 7, I used to get so plastered at my parents' Christmas parties because my parents left. Because here's the thing. My parents, I can't speak for y'all. I don't know what your parties were like growing up. But my parents' holiday parties, the ones, I'm not talking about like an office party. Like my parents would have Christmas parties at our home. And my mom's big thing was to make... immense amounts of daiquiris, and just in a huge glass bowl, she would store the freezer. She would have a huge daiquiri mix, and she would put it in the freezer, and there would just be like, I don't know how many, like, it's, in my memory, it's just huge. It's like 4 gallons of daiquiris in the freezer,
And then, you know, when an adult wanted some, she would go and she would lay a little out, whatever the hell you did, you do daiquiris. But, of course, when you're a kid, it's like, it just tastes like, it tastes like a snow cone, right? And I couldn't taste the alcohol in it, or I just didn't notice after a while. And I remember being 6 and 7 years old and just getting so unbelievably drunk at my parents', which I'm not even sure to this day they know about it. So thanks, Mom, if you're listening. I just so, and just, I don't know whether I passed out. And, like, I would be sick later, and no one else could figure out why it was. I mean, I'm, like, 7 years old, and they think I've had bad fudge or something. I'm in the, like, in the bathroom. Wake up the next day, and it feels like your brain has turned to powder, and, like, it's pulling away from the insides of your skull. You're, like, your teeth are on fire. Those were good times. All right, we should take a
Nothing
break.
More needs to be said. Let's see, Christmas thing.
If your children must drink, give them daiquiris. That's because they go down smooth.
Unfiltered cigarette butts are better than the ones with a filter.
Seriously, Trenton Newport's really your probably
lucky
your
strike.
Thank you. There you go. We'll be back after this.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
No. Would you like to share with... Now, what was the phrase you used this morning? I'm going to go home and eat soup and weep? Or so, what was it?
I'm going to go home and watch Titanic and cry.
I'm going to cry the sickness away.
Yeah. Nate was nice enough to bring me a bunch of, like, cough drops and stuff this morning. So I thought I just bursted in here.
I'm just going to cry the virus right out of your body.
Yeah. I looked like a crazy homeless person because I'm walking my dog. I have, like, 2 jackets on. I'm crying, walking to Fred Meyer. I'm just... pathetic. That's just dumb.
Sexy.
I am.
503-733-2970. Oh, fine. For the love of sweet, holy, zombie Jesus.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount...
Let's welcome Rick Emerson, show PA, Scotty J.
We have assistance, please! The room number 1 for toilet seat!
Hello, Scotty J.
Hello.
How are you? All right.
Just doing good.
Okay, just hold on a goddamn second. Dustin, you're on the Rick Emerson show. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Dustin, how are you?
Hello, yes.
Hi.
Fantastic. Hi, how's it going?
Fantastic. Dustin, how you doing? How you?
Ever.
Thank you. How are you doing today, sir?
Extremely well.
All right. Are you ready to play Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics, my friend?
More than ready, my friend. More than ready.
All right, here's what we're going to do. I will bust out some fake metal lyrics. I will also perform some real metal lyrics. If you can spot the fake metal lyrics, you'll go to see L.A. Guns tonight at Outlaws, along with Bullet Boys and Appetite for Deception. Are you ready, sir?
Yes.
All right. Fantastic. All right. Pay no attention to the order or the cadence or the melody or anything. Your only job here is to determine which are real and which are fake. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time. Dustin, spot the fake metal lyrics. Here's a set of lyrics.
Wait, hold on, Brick. It's yeah. Justin with a J.
Oh, Scotty, what are you doing there?
I broke up on the cell phone. It sounded like a...
It's a poor workman who blames his tools, Scotty. All right, sorry, Justin.
We're going back to Don, the first guy who called in.
Okay, don't be snarky.
Stop, Scotty.
All right, Justin, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, here's the first set of lyrics. Black nails knife... I'm sorry. Black sails knifing through the pitch for night. Away from the radioactive land, mass madness. From the silver-suited people searching out uncontaminated food and shelter on the shores of glowing metal on our ship of wood. All right, there you go. That's the first set of lyrics.
That's excellent.
Here's the... Okay, that's one word. Here's the second set of lyrics. Surrounded by this brick and mortar, I make a life of hate. Today I walk the last time and sentenced to rot in hell. Cause in the end, the life you take is equal to the life you took. All right. Now, one of those is real, one of those is fake, sir. Which were the fake set of lyrics?
Both were award-worthy. I'm going to go with set A as the fake.
You believe that the first set of lyrics were fake?
Yes.
God damn it. No.
No.
Don't gloat. Don't gloat, Scotty. It's not... No, believe it or not, the first set of lyrics were a Jefferson Airplane song called Wooden Ships, sir. The song that you thought was real was called Final Day, lyrics by Scotty J.
And can we note that I guessed it?
Right, like so, I said, they were both award-worthy.
Yeah, all right. Scotty, you can't... The concert with the show's over in like 20 minutes, dude. We got to get these away.
Just sing one more real fast. I'm sure they'll get it.
All right.
If you're just looking to give them away, man, I'm more than willing to take them.
Yeah, sir.
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you what. Now, I am going to break my own rules here, and I'm going to I will give you another crack at this. I'm not going to do another set of lyrics. I will, however, do. I will do a. I will do a little bit of rock '80s trivia. '80s rock trivia for you. All right. Are you an '80s rock fan? First of all.
Not particularly, but I'm willing to give it a shot.
So you're competing for tickets to something that you're not even interested in.
Yes.
You gonna go to this concert?
It's a competition, man. I love the thrill of competing.
What are you gonna do with the tickets?
All right, wait.
I'm going.
Okay.
All right. Do you swear that you are gonna go to this if you win these tickets?
Hey, man, concerts are like pizza.
All right.
No such thing as bad pizza. No such thing as bad concert.
All right, my friend. Can you name two original members of the '80s glam rock mega group Poison?
No.
All right, and we're done. All right, Justin, thank you, sir. All right, there you go.
Pleasure's mine.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Justin's a little too cool for the room there. All right, Scotty, here's what we got to do. We got to do some news here. I gotta get these tickets given away in a second. But do you really need to make this point now?
No.
Okay, we'll do this tomorrow.
Sure.
We'll have your observations about James Kim.
Yeah.
All right.
Are they going to be aggravating and...
Not really. I think
not of your Scotty or deaf.
The only thing I will do is a precursor.
We'll do it tomorrow. Don't know. No. We're going to do it tomorrow. Scotty.
Okay.
Leave now.
Leave it to tomorrow.
Thank you. You just don't hear the word no sometimes. Scotty. No, don't tell. Like, Scotty will read these stories, and I'm like, no, save it for the air so I hear it fresh, and he will insist on reading it despite my... Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the Ministry of Truth in a moment. Scotty, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take callers 5 and 6 here. We're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to make it a little bit easier here for this final L.A. Guns tickets. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to do the Rick Emerson Sing a Guitar Solo Contest. And so here's the thing. We'll take callers 5 and 6 at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I will bring you on. What you must then do is sing to me over the phone a known guitar solo. And there's got to be a solo that is known well enough that I can judge whether or not you have achieved replication. So at 503-733-2970, right now, 503-733-2970, we will ask you to perform vocally over the phone a known guitar solo. And I will judge your efficacy. That will be judged by me and me alone. At stake here, the final two pair of tickets to L.A. Guns tonight. Let's pay a final visit to Tim Riley at the Ministry of... Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Get ready for a dark and frightening night as a high wind warning is in effect for everyone. Already in Seaside, the power is out, and we have a record of wind gusts over on the coast. Rockaway Beach, 87 miles an hour. Garibaldi, 86. Lincoln City, 83 miles an hour. Cape Fowl weather living up to its name with winds up to 75 miles an hour. And Mount Hebo... winds of up to 92 miles an hour.
This guy emails says, Rick, take heed to the wind warning. My work van was hit with a gust of road just now that almost blew me off the road.
See that?
And that's and he said it's late. It's a heavy truck. And he said he was almost blown off the road just now.
This isn't child's play.
No, it's not.
Things have become so serious at Bridgeport Village that they have postponed pet photos with Santa.
Really?
Yes. Oh. I'm afraid so.
You know, Lara wants to do that this year.
No, they've been postponed.
All right.
Didn't you guys do that last year?
No.
I did that the year before.
Really?
I was a little upset that Santa wouldn't put on his beard just because it was a picture being taken with a dog and spoke up.
What? Santa wouldn't put on his beard? Was this with McKee?
Yes, it was.
McGee, I'm sorry? Yes. McGee?
Yes.
And Santa took his... He wouldn't put on his beard?
Until I asked him twice.
What kind of jackhole Santa is that?
He had the rest of the outfit on, but not the...
You should have had the dog attack him.
I should have.
Had McGee rip out his throat.
How much does McGee weigh?
65 pounds.
Enough to take down an average Santa, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. He could feast happily on that Santa for many days.
You bet.
All right, Santa.
So anyway... Things are going to get bad around here. The winds are really going to pick up after 8 o'clock tonight, so don't say you haven't been warned after 8 o'clock. Meanwhile, jumping out of a truck on I-205 in Vancouver may have been the best thing that ever happened to a 500-pound pig. instead of heading to the slaughterhouse, Freeway, as this pig has been named, has a new home at the Pigs R Us Farm at Brush Prairie. No, pigs there aren't eaten. They're uttered on a day-to-day basis. Freeway survived the impact of her December 4th escape with a sore leg and road rash.
Now, this may sound a little cynical, but isn't that Charlotte's Web movie coming out like this week?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh.
I'm just saying. Well, did you see that Time Warner, you know, that Blood Diamonds film is a Warner Brothers movie? Did you see that CNN.com, owned by Time Warner, has been running a lot of stories about Blood Diamonds, the actual diamonds recently?
Did they ever give those poor kids who are missing their arms and legs their appendages?
No, they're going to surprise them later next year. They can all ride the bus, though, apparently.
Anyway, this pig was protected on the median by a passing motorist until a state trooper arrived and called Randy and Betty, who operate Pigs R Us. They took her home and got permission from the owner to keep her while she live her life in happiness.
That is some pig.
It is.
All right.
Under pressure from New Jersey's highest court to offer marriage or its equivalent to gay couples, the State Assembly in New Jersey this afternoon approved a bill to create civil unions. The measure passed 56-19. The legislation would extend to gay couples all the rights and privileges available under state law to married people and would make New Jersey the third state to offer such things.
Godless heathens. Marty, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
Hello.
And also hi to Sarah.
Hello.
And hi to Tim.
Thank you.
You sound like Dick Giuliano.
You do, kind of.
Well, maybe I am.
What's up?
In another life. I wanted to talk to you about the gate.
Gate.
The gate up in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, a couple days after the rescue, I was reading an article in the Oregonian, and they said that a lot of times bear poachers go beyond the gates, then lock the gate behind them so the cops can't come in and get them. And then, and once they poach the bears, they come out and remove the lock. But that could be a...
You know what's interesting is so far today, this is like by asking people why they tap cigarettes. So far today, we've heard marijuana growers lock the gate. We heard bear poachers lock the gate. We heard the Bureau of Land Management themselves lock the gate, but did it with a faulty lock and don't want to admit to it now. We've heard that, quote, drunk good old boys who just like to screw with people lock the gate. There doesn't seem to be any real answer out there somewhere as to why the gate would have been locked. And what I'm curious about is, let's assume none of these things happen. My question is, according to the Bureau of Land Management, was the gate really supposed to be locked in the first place? In other words, let's assume none of these people did it. Like, should the Bureau of Land Management actually have had it closed?
With an official lock.
With an official lock.
Of their choosing.
Of their choosing, so you couldn't wander up there and freeze to death.
That's what the article said today in the paper, that it should have been locked. But
shoulda.
Yeah.
Generally, the bureaucracy got in the way, and somebody...
Well, no harm, no foul.
Right.
Lawsuit,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting ready to batten down the hatches. I'm right across from Morgan City. I'm surrounded on three sides by about 100...
Oh, you're doomed.
150-foot pine trees.
Yeah, well...
So I'm going to go get the chickens out of the yard and batten down the hatches.
Okay.
Bring them in the house.
Yes.
Yeah, well, they've got their own little room. If I leave them outside...
Chicken pen with their own little televisions.
Yeah. Yeah, the coyotes and the raccoons and the skunks will eat them. So, anyway.
God bless us, everyone. All right, thanks, Marty.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you. It's an F5, the finger of God. Let's do one more, and then we'll give these tickets away, and then we'll break. Here's Tim Riley.
This comes to us from Miami Beach, Florida.
Sons of bitches.
I'm sick, and I beat you.
I'm sorry, it came from where?
Florida.
Yeah.
A South Florida couple is happy not to be sharing their homes with millions of bees. Jesus Molina and his girlfriend Mary were ready to buzz off.
Really? Jesus and Mary?
Yes. Ready to buzz off after a swarm of bees invaded their kitchen wall of their apartment. Molina said the bees were there for about 2.5 years. The couple finally had it up and called in the professionals. So we're trying to, like, get rid of them, but without professional help, we can't. So we almost did, I guess. They're biting me. Who wrote this story?
I don't understand.
I'm reading as it's written.
I don't understand.
Molina screamed.
What? When?
Let me take this up again. So, we're trying to,
so
like,
Jesus
get
and Mary...
rid of most of these.
So
without professional help, we can't. So now we almost... They're biting me, Molina screamed, running from the home during an interview with the reporters.
Oh, okay.
Beekeepers remove more than 3 million bees. How do they get somebody with a clicker? Quick.
No, let's get back to this.
They also extracted nearly 60 pounds of honey.
Let's get back to this. I'm going to gloss over the fact that it's Jesus and Mary and 3 million bees. Am I to understand that during the middle of an interview, he began screaming, ow, ow, they're biting me, and yes. ran from the home?
Ran from the home during an interview with the reporters.
Seriously, I will give a copy of the new Onion book to the first person who can find me audio of that.
Go to WFTV.com. There is a video related to this story.
The WFTV.com. If somebody can send me the audio or the video that contains the audio of this guy running from the house screaming they're biting me, I will. Yeah, I'll give you a copy of the new Onion book, which is the pseudo-autobiography of George W. Bush, Destined for Destiny.
Beekeeper said the insects got in through a small hole and built a home in a kitchen cabinet.
That's how they get into your brain, too.
Well, wonder if that's what happened to that senator.
Hey, listen to a bad email. An ER nurse told me that when the brain swells, it comes out of your ears and nose like toothpaste.
Oh, God.
I think you're going to have to ask your wife about this.
That sounds made up.
Well,
awful.
I'd like to believe that it's true.
It's from the Bureau of Land Management.
He was supposed to have a lock on his brain.
Okay. But they put in a non-regulation lock.
Seriously, that's going to be Sue-tastic. Really, there's going to be, as Drew Curtis might say, there's Sue-larity is going to be ensuing there. Ensuing.
Oh, yeah. Kill me.
There'll be big signs up from now on that say no, no, no.
Why do people keep calling and then...
It's a talk show.
No, I haven't gotten any of these because they call...
Delilah isn't on the air yet.
They're trying to find Lars. People keep calling and then I don't get to the calls and then they go away. People keep calling something about Stephanie Miller this morning. Something about Stephanie Miller this morning. Does anybody know why they would be calling about her show especially great this morning or especially...
It usually is every day.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm a Stephanie Miller fan. I celebrate her entire catalog. But we're getting a lot of calls about her show today. And when I go to them, the people don't hang on long enough to get to them. It's like they call just to taunt me. All right. Well, let's get caller 5. Lauren, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Booyah. You are not 6 foot tall, by the way.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's the wrong way to call up and try to win something. You immediately insult the man who is going to be passing judgment on this.
I was going to say you're more like 6'2".
Thank you, sir.
You didn't give me a chance to finish.
All right, we have a pair of tickets on the line to see L.A. Guns, Bullet Boys, and Appetite for Deception tonight at Outlaws. If you, sir, can sing for me verbally now, if you can recreate a known guitar solo for us at this point in time, are you able to do this?
I had no idea that's what it was when I called, but sure, I'll give it a shot.
What is the solo?
She by Kiss.
Okay.
I'll do my best.
There you go. You must recreate the guitar solo from She by Kiss.
Hold on, I gotta drink some vodka really quick.
Okay. All right.
I'll give him my best shot.
Okay. I'll give you, and it's almost like you're doing the Alive version there.
It kind of is, yeah.
All right, fantastic. Excellent, sir. I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty J will arm you with a pair of tickets at tonight's LA Gun Show. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there you go. What? And we're done. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Well, let's take a break here. We'll get this final break out of the way. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. You stay there. We wrap things up after this. It's AM 970. Solid State Radio. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcast and dead final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. Let's get caller, is this Scott?
It is.
Scott, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, Rick.
All right, Scott, we got our final pair of tickets to see L.A. Guns, Bullet Boys, and Appetite for Deception tonight at Outlaws. If you, sir, can recreate verbally for us now over the phone a known guitar solo.
Okay, I'm going to do the intro to Now Your Ships Are Burned by Yngwie Malmsteen.
Oh, see, and this, I have no way of verifying this because I could put my enthusiasm for Yngwie Malmsteen inside a thimble.
Okay. How about the solo for In My Dreams by Dokken?
Okay, that I can identify.
Okay.
Because I am lame. All right. Sorry, I guess I'll carry it away with it. Anywho, yeah, congratulations, sir. Well, you're listening to KCMD AM Portland, by the way. Thank you, Scotty.
Thank you.
All right, Scott, I'm going to put you on hold, and Scotty J is going to get your info. Congratulations, sir. You are a dork, and I mean that in the best way possible.
I appreciate that, Rick.
God bless you, sir. There you go. And probably our final call for the day. Bill, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello, Rick, sir. I hope you're feeling better.
Thank you.
When a minor in Washington County gets caught imbibing in adult beverages, they put them in a diversion program. And what ends up happening is they bring in a bunch of kids and their parents, and they get to see unadulterated pictures of kids that had been drinking and driving from an ER nurse. It's pretty nasty. In any event, the story about the brain swelling is absolutely true because it has to go somewhere. And it's pretty disgusting.
And really, it's not going out the top of your head, most likely.
No, it's coming out the nose, the ears, some of the probably the eyes. It's pretty brutal.
So it's like you're squeezing one of those stress dolls.
Yes, absolutely. It's got to go somewhere.
It's a whole lot of eye bulging.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. That's Bill. God bless us, everyone. All right. Well, on that note,
like the worst visual.
Yeah. How you feeling? Any better?
Not really. I'll be good tonight. I'm going to sleep the afternoon away.
All right. Rick Emerson, you are not 6 feet tall. Not even with shoe lifts, he says. What else here?
It's not like I'm trying to call you a liar, but you're really not 6 feet tall.
I'm just saying. And I feel like it's okay. No. We'll do it tomorrow. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I didn't know this. This is from CBS Radio Portland marketing guru Susan Reynolds about Al Capone's vault. By the way, I was there when Geraldo set off the explosives and entered Al Capone's vault, working at WLS. Damn, that's impressive.
Huh.
At the time, so we went down there with all the other media outlets and curiosity seekers and stood around in the dark for this pop culture reference in the making. That woman becomes more impressive every single day. Let's see here. And by the way, and we want to give a happy birthday to our good friend Joni DeRoshi, who turns 18 years old today.
Oh, Joni.
Finally able to go out
so
and vote and
at such a young age.
Engage in carnal relations legally. Congratulations and happy birthday to you, Joni DeRoshi, from all of us at All our family to y'all. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Make a note, because we are back tomorrow with all that. In the meantime, let's wrap up today with...
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
A good friend, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Hello.
What's up with you, brother?
Oh, not too much. I have a little thing I could say, but you wouldn't be able to play it on the air, so.
Now, are you out there?
Yes, I was going to say, I was dealing with the wind and how hard it's blowing. And see, I told you could play
it. No, I should have known. There you go. But yes, it is. But yes, you were being blown around by the wind.
Yes. And happy birthday to Joni. She's 18 today. Oh,
it's,
wow.
No, it's true. It's just...
I'm fly.
She does have a very mature bearing for such.
How old is Sydney now?
a zygote. All right. But seriously, are you? Does it suck out there? I mean, are you still on the clock?
Yeah. I'm on my break, doing my route.
Is it? How do you even hold on to the piles of paper that you are delivering in wind like this?
with agile, very sturdy grip.
I mean, this is one of those things where, as much as we make fun of postal workers and government employees, whatever, you earn it on a day like today. Not that you don't the rest of the time, but I mean, this is a day like today. I wouldn't change jobs for anything.
It's not raining right now, so I'm happy about that.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if it rains and then you get that wind, and I mean, well, that's the thing we were talking about, these guys that hike, and the thing that these guys who climb mountains, the one thing they tell you is you got to work really hard not to sweat at all, because it's not the exertion that'll kill you, it's the sweating, because then the wind immediately comes along, and then, hi, you're an ice cube. And that's the thing. It's that combination of wetness and the wind. That's totally what snuffs you. So, well, where are we at here?
Well, no, see, Aaron said this morning that you're at 5, but
yeah.
You were at 3, and you missed 5 things yesterday. By my mouth, that it makes you at 8.
I thought I was at 5, not that I missed 5.
No,
you missed 5 yesterday. However, you got to everything on Monday. Did that put you at a negative 3, Sarah?
I did get to everything on Monday.
Oh, I guess it could. That could be okay.
Okay, so that put him at a negative 3, missed 5, which puts him...
so hard.
That put you at 2, I guess?
I don't know.
Okay, let's say you were at 2 after yesterday. And today, Guys on the Mountain, What Will Kill You This Christmas, Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, the special guest, Mr. Skin and Storm, Worst Story Ever, and the LA Gun Sticks, You Got Everything.
Yeah!
Which would put you at a negative 1.
Wait, yeah, but no, bitches. Chris, because there was he got them all
Thank
on
you,
Monday.
Chris. Thank
which
you
is,
so much. Okay. I appreciate that.
Okay, Rick, stop talking. All right, so he got them all on Monday, but on Tuesday he missed 3, and on Wednesday he missed 5. So that would still put him at a 5.
Correct. That would put him at 5 yesterday, minus 3 today. You're at 2, Rick.
Oh. Well, okay. Well, 2. I'll take that. Rick Emerson will take 2.
And you could probably pull off, like, make him do, like, 20 push-ups a week and push out his 68 by the end of the year.
I think that if I get negative push-ups, Sarah should have to do them. I'm just saying. All right.
We'll
Thank
talk.
You, sir.
Good talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio, here despite her failing immune system. Thank you so much. So give her an extra hand, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Riley is our newsman, prophet, president, seer, and revelator. Scotty J is our PA and the manager of the Rick Emerson office. East is Dave Zinn. We want to thank Lisa Goddard, Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com, and, of course, Jim Rook. Tomorrow, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio will be here. Like us next. Donna Mike at 7. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tonight at LA Guns, and tomorrow right here. Bye now.